I do love it. You give Moran Park an opportunity to chat, and you guys will go for a long time. How many of you said you saw the goodness of the Lord and that your kids went back to school this week? Anybody? Yeah, mine have another week. Yeah, bless the Lord, Zealand. Yeah, way to hold out another week. It's just good to share. It's encouraging to see all of you interact with one another, and people share the testimonies, the things that the Lord has been doing in your life. And this week, I heard a bunch of testimonies of people who have, the Lord has become real to them. The Lord has pulled them out of their lifestyle and has shown them and overwhelmed them with His love and His grace. And this morning, I want to encourage us, but also challenge us. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and I want to focus on the first four verses of 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says this, "I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God Himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." I want to read that again. "I hope," Paul says, "you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God Himself. For I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." The verse that has stuck out to me all week has been verse 3. "But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted." Pure and undivided devotion to Christ. I've been reading this book called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger, and it's a story of a woman who in her 20s, the Lord got a hold of in a powerful way. She grew up in Great Britain, and the Lord tugged at her heart, and she wanted to give her life completely and fully to the Lord. And so she started to talk to individuals and interact with people, and she really felt a calling by the Lord to go to a different country and share the good news of Jesus Christ with people in that country. She would talk to people, and one person would say, "No, you know, you got to wait a little bit longer." Another person would say, "No, now's not the right time." But she still had this really deep desire to go. And she came across this one gentleman who said, "Well, if you still feel this desire to go, if the Lord is saying to go, you better go." He said, "This is what I would do. I would get on a boat going the longest distance, and I would pray that you know when to get off." She took those words to heart. She literally got on the slow boat to China and went. And every time this boat would pull into a harbor, she would ask the Lord, "All right, Lord, is this the place that you want me to stop and hang out and you want me to live? Is this it?" And she would say no, or feel no, and go on to the next place, and go on to the next place. And eventually, she got to Hong Kong, and she pulled into the port, and the Lord said, "This is it." And as a woman in her early 20s, she went into the darkest places of Hong Kong and started to share the gospel and saw people radically pulled out of their life and enter into a new life with Jesus. She saw the Holy Spirit do amazing things, phenomenal things, as people were pulled out of a lifestyle of addiction and entered into this new life following Jesus Christ. For many years, 50 years, she's been doing this. And I was reading her book, and the thing that I loved about her book is she said, "I didn't write this just to share a story. I wrote this book to inspire. Now go and create your own story." And as I read that book, I saw that this was a picture of what could possibly happen when one is living their life with a pure and undivided devotion to Jesus. If we look at Scripture, If we look at the story of Acts, I'm always blown away that it begins with 120 people in a room, fearful that people are going to kill them. And they're praying. And I often ask the question, what happened to get that group from 120 to, at the end of the second century, 2 million people who said that Jesus was their Lord and Savior? What happened to move from 120 to 2 million people? It was a move of God, absolutely. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. But I believe also it was a group of people who were fully devoted to the Lord. They were willing to do whatever the Lord wanted them to do, go wherever the Lord wanted them to go. And they wouldn't consider their lives of any value, even in darkest places and difficult times, they were still boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the world was turned upside down by these people who had a pure and undivided devotion to Jesus and Him alone. The world was changed, and I believe continues to be changed by people who have encountered Jesus in a powerful way and want to live their lives with that pure and undivided devotion to Him. If you look at Scripture, in the Old Testament, God says, I look all over the world, all over the earth, looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to Me. The words that Paul writes in verse 4, your pure and undivided devotion to Christ. Does that describe you? Does that describe your life as we live in West Michigan in 2018 with so many different things? Is your life characterized by a pure and undivided devotion to Jesus? And I don't know about you, but for me, often my life, my heart gets divided. Things that I have to do, things that I think I have to do. And this is the prayer that I have for my life and for all of us this morning, is that we would live, kids, young, all the way to us older kids, who have just a pure and undivided devotion to Jesus. Paul says, I have this great concern. I promised you as a bride to one husband, Christ, but I fear that some people have come in and have corrupted that. And what happened in that time when Paul is writing this, he says there was these people who were called, you know, he called super apostles. People who thought highly of themselves, and they came in preaching a different message, a different Jesus, one that was just focused on the humanness of Jesus. Didn't focus on Jesus being God or Jesus being Lord, and they shared a gospel that wasn't about grace but was about works, and all was dependent on outward appearance. And so these people said, look at Paul, he's not super impressive. His work isn't that great. Look at he's weak. He doesn't speak all that well. And as a result, in the church in Corinth, they had a different spirit, one of bondage and fear instead of freedom and joy and faith. And Paul is saying, I'm fearful. I'm fearful because you happily put up with whatever they are telling you. This different Jesus, this different gospel, this different spirit, you happily put up with that. But I promised you as one bride to Christ. You know, it's wedding season. And the last weekend, there was a couple of people that got married from Rand Park. And August 18th, someone told me, actually my mom sent me a statistic that they estimated that 30,000 people got married on August 18th, 2018 because of 8-18-18, you know, just because of the dates. Talking to somebody, they were saying, like, if you're a photographer, that would have been a great day to have a surcharge for a wedding. But anyway, there were a couple people here that got married during that time. And I was thinking of this passage and thought of the picture of a wedding. There's so much creativity in weddings, and I love doing weddings. I love seeing the creativity come out, and I actually want Quinn and Kylie to come on up. They're going to be an example. They just got married in June, so they're newlyweds, so give them a round of applause. Let me get my mind right. You stand right there, okay? You stand right here facing me. So they got married in June. June what? June 9, beautiful outdoor wedding, right overlooking a lake. Is a beautiful, beautiful night. And I love the creativity with weddings. But every wedding, no matter what, has, I would say, two moments that are the same. The one moment that I actually hope I never forget, and I haven't up until this time, is the moment when I say to the groom, you can kiss your bride. And that's the moment. I was at a wedding one time, and the pastor forgot that, and that just was a bad, bad deal. And so I never want to forget that. So I underline it and I say, don't forget that moment. But there's also another moment that is the same in every wedding. The words may differ, but it is the same in every wedding. And it's a moment when the husband and wife, the new husband and wife, they look at each other, now face each other, hold hands, and they share their vows. Some write their vows, some use vows that have been written for them, and it is a sweet moment because no matter how many people are there, no matter what has happened, problems that have happened, getting to that date or issues that they had, you know, with the wedding, all of a sudden, all of that fades away. And even I fade away as they just share their vows with one another, and they look into each other's eyes, and there is this pure and undivided devotion. Now, what would happen if I was leading that time, and all of a sudden, I would be like, all right, give me a hand. And it was the two of us. You'd be like, that is weird. That is messed up. You know, but often, I think that's what can happen in our lives. Our devotion can get divided. You guys can have a seat. Good job. You guys want to kiss? You may kiss the bride. No. But I think of that picture, and I think about that like so many weddings. Their devotion is just so pure and so undivided in that moment. And when it comes down to following Jesus, when it comes down to Christianity, when it comes down to what we're doing, it is not complicated. It is pretty simple in what we're doing. We want to live lives that are purely and undivided in our devotion to Jesus. You know, as I think about it, as life gets complex, so often following Jesus can get complex, and we think we have to do all these different things to be made right with God. A different gospel can sneak in. But as I think about movements that have happened all over the world, all throughout history, it has always been getting back to this simple, pure, and undivided devotion to Jesus. 500 or so years ago, in the church, there was this thinking that you had to do all of this stuff to be made right with God. Or to even read scripture, you had to go to the professional and he would tell you what it said. And in came a person who said, no, it's only by grace in Jesus Christ. It's only by faith in Christ alone that you can be saved, and you can read scripture yourself. Back in the 1800s, there was a guy who moved into Holland, Michigan by the name of Clapper was his last name. I forget his first name. Martin Clapper. And this guy was from the East Coast, and he was just a crazy man. And it said he was loud, and when he moved into sedate Holland, people noticed. He was loud, and he would have these meetings above a saloon downtown Holland. And he would share the gospel and call people back into a relationship with Jesus. And it said back in the late 1800s that people came from the countryside into Holland, and a revival broke out as he called people back to a simple, pure, undivided devotion to Jesus. Does that phrase, this pure, undivided devotion to Jesus, does that characterize your life? Because that's what it's all about. You know, and that type of relationship with Jesus, where we're just so focused on Jesus and we have this pure, undivided devotion to Jesus, that can be so deep in its nature. As you just get to know the Lord, as Britton shared last week out of Jeremiah chapter 9, that we would boast in this, that we would boast only in our knowledge of the Lord, that we know him. That's what the Lord is inviting us into, to have that type of relationship where we're so focused on him, growing in our desire for him, being hungry to know him through his word and through the power of the Spirit. But just like the church in Corinth, I feel we have gotten off and have kind of moved away from the simplicity of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. We think of Christianity as something that is just cultural. It's just something that we do. We go to church and we go and just do this thing one day a week. And then we kind of add it on to the rest of our lives. And that was never what Jesus had intended. And even as it becomes cultural, we start to become like our culture and we start to consume things and just be like, hey, what's in it for me? We can have this attitude of, I'm coming and it's just, it better be good for me. It better, you know, I better have, you know, I want to understand this principle or grow in this or that. And we become the focus of our relationship with Jesus. And even we can have a self-centered gospel, where it's all about Jesus, get me out of this situation, get me out of that situation, free me of my anxiety, of my worry. And I want you to hear me say this clearly. Jesus cares about the broken. Jesus cares about all of that stuff. But that is not the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is that you and I were an enemy of God. We were an object of wrath, deserving of judgment. But Jesus, God, full in his mercy, full of mercy, abundant in grace, pursued us and gave up his son Jesus so that we could have life if we believe and put our faith in him and him alone. But when we lose sight of all of that, we can become even casual in our relationship with the Lord. When we lose sight of the core of the gospel, we become casual in sharing the gospel. Because we think like, oh, sin's not all that bad. You know, let me just do something nice for somebody and then maybe, you know, eventually they'll ask a question. We become casual with sin. We become casual with sharing the gospel. But when we get back to the heart of it, that it's all about the fact that we were enemies of God and we were only saved by grace, that produces an urgency in us, a pure and undivided devotion. And so for you this morning, I want you to ask the question, what does it look like for you to live with a pure, undivided devotion to Jesus? A pure, undivided devotion to Jesus. What is the Lord calling you to do? What is the Lord inviting you into? Because that's what we want to be about as a people. Just a people who are known for our pure and undivided devotion to Jesus. So I want you to take 30 seconds right now. 30 seconds of silence and ask the Lord that question. Lord, what does it look like for me to live my life with a pure and undivided devotion to you? Even as you're thinking, maybe there have been some things that have come into your life that have gotten you away from your pure and undivided devotion to the Lord. Ask the Lord maybe to even highlight those right now. I'll give you a couple more seconds. Now what I want you to do is share that, share what the Lord, you think the Lord put on your heart with the person next to you. Share with them, just in 30 seconds or less, just share with them what you believe the Lord is calling you to do, how you're supposed to live with a pure and undivided devotion to Jesus. Go ahead and share that with the person next to you. All right. You know, as I get older, I start to think, what do I want to be known for? And it really, the Lord, you know, touched my heart with this verse this week. It's, I just want to be known for one thing, and that's a pure, undivided devotion to Jesus. Even the psalmist says, one thing I ask, this is what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon his beauty. I mean, just one thing, that's all I want, that's all I desire in my life. And you know, the thing that the Lord put on my heart with this passage this week is to simply live this way. You know, a devotion like this starts with spending time alone with the Lord, spending time praying, spending time, you know, getting to know God through the power of His Word. But also, it's not just meant to be hunkered down in our core, in our rooms, just doing that. There's so much more that He's calling us to. And I have been struck with the simple fact that wherever I go, whatever I do, I can live with this simple devotion, this pure, undivided devotion to the Lord. And so for what I've been doing for the last, you know, couple years, I'll go to the gym and work out. And I know it doesn't look like it, but I'll go and work out. And the cool thing is, as I go into that area, go into the gym, I'm looking around saying, all right, Lord, is there anybody you want me to pray with? Is there anybody you want me to talk to? And as sweat's pouring down my face, I'm like, okay, Lord, who are you directing me to? And I have been blessed to hear people pour out their lives to me and share some pretty painful stuff. And then in that moment, not just to be able to like, hey, good luck, have fun, you know, get working out. No, it's an opportunity to pray with them and to share the good news that I have found in Jesus. As I go to a coffee shop or whatever, as I go throughout my day, it's living with that constant awareness that my life is not my own, but I was purchased with a price. And it belongs completely to the Lord. And so, Lord, as I go into this environment, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to share with? And it's paying attention to those little promptings that the Lord gives us. This week, I was talking to a businessman just out front of the church here. And he said, my life has been changed, Dave. And I'm like, well, you got to tell me more. And he says, I used to be so focused on output. What do I need to produce that day? And he says, now my life has been changed with input. What inputs can I make in people's lives? He says, I'm still focused on being productive and doing my work, but as I go around my office, I'm looking to plant little seeds in people's lives. I'm looking to tell them about Jesus, to share a word with them, and who knows, someday I might water, someday I might plant the seed, but God's going to do the work, and He's going to cause it to grow. And so if you're in a business, if you're, you know, in a school or whatever, what seeds is God inviting you to plant? Whose life are you supposed to touch? Where is God sending you? See, Hope students, college students, you are paying money to go to school. You are there for the next couple months. But your number one job isn't just to go to class and do your work, even though do that and do it for the glory of God. Your number one job is to live with a pure and undivided devotion to the Lord that brings Him glory in everything that you do. I mean, that's how Jackie Pullinger lived her life. Wasn't anything crazy. She just would walk around and saying, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Whose life do you want me to touch today? Who do you want me to share the gospel with today? It's that simple. It's living with that simple devotion to Jesus wherever you go, whatever you do. And it all starts with understanding something that we're going to participate in this morning. As we come together to take communion, we see this cup filled with juice. And in the Jewish tradition, there's this powerful picture that we get that as a bride was engaged to a guy, the father would arrange it, and there would be a time when they would figure out the price and all that stuff, but then they would share a cup, and they would both, after a covenant was written up, they would both take the cup and they would both drink out of it, saying, I am giving my life completely to you. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took a cup. And it had tons of imagery, tons of symbolism. And he offered it up to his disciples and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood which is going to be poured out for you. So in a way, Jesus is saying, here, I'm giving my life to you, will you give your life to me? So this morning as we come together and as we take communion, we're going to do it just a little bit differently. There will be communion servers up front. And here's what I want to do. There will be communion servers up front. Off in the cafe, there's going to be two up in the balcony, and then two in the entryway as well. I want to come up front row by row, okay? First row, second row, come down the middle aisle, go back the side aisles. Balcony, you can kind of figure it out, and cafe as well. But what I want you to do is come forward row by row, and since we have two in the back as well, back row, you can start first and go into the entryway and get communion that way too, and then come back the side aisles. You're going to come and take the elements, get the bread, dip it in the cup. You're not going to take it at that moment. You're going to go back to your seats and wait for your family or your friends to gather around. And parents, this is a great opportunity for you, especially if you have younger kids, to teach them what it means. to show them this is the body of Christ which was given for us. He paid the sacrifice for our sins, his blood which was poured out for us. You're going to come back together as family, or even if you're with some friends, gather together as friends. And if there's somebody who's by themselves around you, make sure we pay attention to that and invite them into your family or your group of friends. And you're going to take it together. And you're going to just pray prayers of thanksgiving, thankful to God for all that he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. And so you're going to take it together as a family, and then we're going to continue to worship. But use this as another opportunity to ask the Lord, all right, Lord, how are we supposed to live our lives with a pure and undivided devotion to you? So communion servers, come on up. Worship team, you can come on up as well. As they get ready, please come down the center aisle, return the outside aisles, and then take once everybody is, once your family and friends are back at their seat.